Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we thank you. We give you the glory in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you that you help us. You are our helper, Lord. You are our strength, our comfort. And you give us revelation and we receive it by faith of what we have in Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay, some weeks ago, I started a new series titled Saving Your Soul. Since there was a lot of material, a lot of information, Thursday evening, I continued. Normally, I'm speaking of prayer, which is good. Because in our midweek services, we'll be speaking of the different types of prayers. But on Thursday, I made an exception to that. And I was touching on some very important points. Those who are here know what I'm referring to. But today, I'm going to see the other side of the coin in the form of a question. Can a Christian experience judgment under God's grace? That would be in the form of a question. I don't remember what the title is today exactly, but it will appear there on the screen. Can a Christian experience judgment under God's grace? Yes, I did say it correctly. Would it be yes? Would it be no? All judgment fell on Jesus, but let's define some of these things here. Now, last time, one of the things that we saw, and I want to clarify it due to the following reason. Some of you have heard me say a lot. I'll say, God is not mad with you. And that's so people don't have to walk in condemnation. But did you know that God hates certain things? Just because God isn't mad with me doesn't mean then that God doesn't hate things that I can do. And what happens is when he hates something, what happens with that is he isn't mad with me, but he hates the things that I can do or I can say. And what happens with that is I give place to the devil in my life. And apart from that, if I understand the grace of God correctly, I then don't want to go against God my Father. You understand? I want to do things to please him by faith. What pleases God? Faith. Are you understanding what I'm saying? For example, if you're in sin, you're lost, and you live the way that you live, God isn't mad with you, meaning that God receives your prayers, you praise him, you worship him, he will receive your praise and your worship, but he hates certain things. And then that also has to do with pride, because if I'm disobeying something that you know does not please him, then you know what happens? You won't let the anointing of the word of God flow as it should. And what James 4 verse 6 said, but God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What does that mean by God resists? In other words, the laws of God will not operate to your favor. Not because God is detaining them. It's because you're detaining them. Amen. It's because I'm detaining them. Do you understand? This is part of what we've said on, for example, honoring God. Why would we have to do what we want to instead of doing what he wants us to do? Simply because we think that we're wiser than God. And that's where we resist God. One more time. And this isn't to be complaining or whining. This is submitment. And you have to submit all your ideas and everything that you want to be able to do the will of God. Many times, speaking of direction of the God, speaking here of the guidance of God, God will ask you to live in a certain place. For example, I personally, you know it, personally, I would not live in Douglas. I live comfortably here because it's a small town. It's very calm, but I don't like the culture of it. I have two or three places where I would live very comfortably. Amen. Where I could live there and adapt because I like that type of culture. One of them is in the state of Ohio. I live very comfortably over there. I like the climate. I like colder climates. And I'll later share more details on that. But that has to do with direction from God. And it's about submitting to God. And where were we? In James 4:6? Look at verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You see that word there, submit? It's one of the most difficult words that you and I... Or in other words, submitment is the most difficult thing that there is. People say, oh, it's very easy to submit. Not really. And the reason is this. Every single one of us have different ways of thinking. Oh, if I were the pastor in the church, I'd do this and the other. I'd do this way. If I were him, I'd do this and that. If I were this, I'd do this differently. And every single one of us have different ways of thinking. Perhaps valid. Which is why it's so difficult to submit. Daily we have to submit. For example, if you live here in the United States and you have to drive, you put on your seatbelt. Perhaps you don't want to put it on. You have to be conscious if you're going to turn here or not turn here. You put your blinkers. That's all. That all has to do with submitment. If you're married, my God, you want to buy a couch of a certain color and your wife wants the other one. This is from the most simple, basic thing to something that would be difficult. Submitting is of the most difficult things that you can find to do. But that's what it has to do. Submitting your will, your liking, your desires to God. And that's best because God knows the things better that are convenient. Now, when it comes to the promises of God, you can confess healing, the promises of prosperity, but there are other things that you should seek the direction in. Now, one more time, let's go to our foundational text. It's in James, and there's a lot to speak here, but I think you'll be able to receive it. James 4, 21 and 22. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Now we've already seen everything in you have in your spirit, all faith, peace, you have it all through Christ. But what the issue is the mind. No, it's fine. Thank you. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. I this way I can just move from one way to another more comfortably. Remember what we saw last time. You have all the information here. You have all grace, all peace here. But you need to use it. You need to bring it out as if, for example, when you grab water from a well, you need to bring it out from the inside out. Which is why the majority of Christians, God bless them, this isn't to criticize, they don't receive. Because they're constantly asking for prayers that they already have. For example, Christians. God bless them, but they ask for peace. Lord, give me peace in this situation. Please give me peace. And they ask and they beg. When you have peace inside of you, and if you want to see a greater manifestation of the peace of God, a greater manifestation of the grace of God, you know what you have to do? You have to use a greater amount of faith. You have the faith here in your spirit, but you have to use it here in your soul. You have to use it through words. You have to use it through corresponding acts. Even seeking the direction of God when you don't know what to do, that's faith. You know why? But to seek the direction of God, you have to submit your whole body, your whole flesh to pray in the spirit, to pray in other tongues. It wouldn't surprise me if one of you, if any of you here are not capable of speaking in other tongues. But it's because it doesn't interest you. I can't obligate you. Because you know, people who want to, hey, Brother Hughes, I want you to pray for me. I want to receive baptism of the Holy Spirit and the evidence of praying in other tongues. But other people don't because they don't consider it important. Without being rude, out there, there's lots of spiritual trash that we're listening to. on social media, on the internet, it's rare the person who is actually teaching a good word to this day. Today, we just want, I call them back-rubbing messages. They just tell you that everything's all right. Now, of course, what do you prefer, a message where they're telling you that everything's all right? Or those where in English they call doom and gloom messages, where everything is disgrace and bad things are going to happen to you? Well, of course, you want a message that encourages you. But I can't live off of them just encouraging me. I need to see it with the Word of God and believe it and receive it and do my part and act in the Word that corresponds to me. That's what maturity is. And that's what this is about. All your life. And never think that I know it all. I've already reached that place. It's enough years listening to the same thing. Nope. While you're in this flesh, we will constantly be renewing our minds and going from understanding in understanding to more understanding and seeing things that we hadn't seen before. Understanding. When I say see, it's understanding with revelation, maturing. Your part and my part isn't just to die and go to heaven immediately. Now, if someone dies, they go to heaven, glory to God. But our point here is to mature in the Word. If it were like that, then it'd just be a question of you just being born again and instantly die. But no, our part is to mature and grow. Seek our assignment without competing with someone, with here or there. Saying that this one is better or this one is the other. It's where God put you, what God told you to do. Period. You stay there. You grow there. Mature there. Amen. Guard your salvation. Guard your relationship with God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because this life is difficult sometimes. We have an enemy that although he is defeated, he uses all things that he has to his disposal. So verse 22. But be doers of the word and not only hearers, deceiving only yourselves. Now, 21, I believe it's 21 and 22 in the Amplified Classic. So get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness. What is this? All idea that's contrary to the Word of God. My brothers and sisters, there are even certain ways of praying that we have. Are they in the light of the gospel? Is there faith in those prayers? Or is there faith in my performance, in my way of speaking? In if I close my eyes hard enough, and if, oh, hallelujah, I change my tone of voice. Is that my faith? You know what we call that? Those are called rags of sorrow. Those are dead works. God detests those things. Amen. Faith pleases God. Everything that we do should be in line with the Word of God. Just a moment ago, I was praying and then interrupted that to share something with you, because since I'm not perfect in my mind, I had to tell you those things. But what I spoke of, why the economy has not worked out, and the other point of, and I had to interrupt it. You think God is going to get mad with me because of that, interrupting the so-called anointing? Not if I would have done it purposefully, but I didn't do it purposefully. And when I pray in faith. Hallelujah. Now, in Romans, or forgive me, James 1, we were in the Amplified Classic. So get rid of all uncleanness and rampant outgrowth of wickedness. And in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word, which implanted and rooted in your hearts, contains the power to save your souls. The word here, save, means to rescue your soul, or to change your way of thinking. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle James here were speaking the exact same thing with different words. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, Amplified Classic. Do not be conformed to this world or this age. Fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind. Your, how it says transformed in your spirit, you were already transformed. If you were born again, you've already been transformed in your spirit. The issue is not the spirit necessarily. The issue is here in your mind, and you're always going to struggle with this. We're always going to struggle while we're in this bodily, this fleshly body. What are we going to struggle with? Unbelief, doubt, fear, hate. Words that the devil sows in you or other people. Later I'll be speaking on persecution, and I'll give you ways of why persecution comes. But one of them, you won't be able to avoid it. If you walk in line the best that you can, you make an effort in obeying God and walk in line with the word of God and exalt God in his word, persecution will come. Persecution will come. It's the devil and it's through people. But the majority of the times, curiously, it'll come from the same Christians. Because there are Christians, as I said, they're born again, but there are Christians that are more dangerous than a rattlesnake. You have to love them from afar. No, this is serious. You have to renew your mind. Understand and comprehend that you can know what is walking in love and what is walking in love, but you sometimes have to go away from certain people because those people will put you into issues. They're way too carnal. And we're to cast all anxiety on the Lord and to pray for them from afar. The Word of God teaches you this. The Word of God and this and the Bible are one. They're an indestructible force. Amen. I don't know if you notice the life of man. Certain times, some people die in their adolescence. Very few cases, but they do. Others are, speaking here of marriage, some get married between their teens. Others get married in their mid-20s, early 20s, 25, 26. Others a bit later at the end of their 20s. Others in their 30s, whatever. But then come children. So remember this. When you see people that are not acting in line with the Word of God, and you think, oh, it's going fine for them, they're sowing, and that's one of the advantages of being under the grace of God. Under the grace of God, there is protection. But if you're sowing and sowing wrongfully, eventually the laws of the kingdom will fall into work. And they'll end up reaching, be it you, your children, which is why it's so important to hear from God. To hear from God. Especially when you have them at home. You have your children at home, teach them. Again, you now don't fall into gossip. Don't be speaking things that they shouldn't or that they don't understand. If you don't understand something, don't speak it. And if you understand it, what's the motive of speaking? You understand? This all has to do with maturity, changing your way of thinking. Now, touching into the question, Christian experiment judgment. Now we've taught for many years that judgment, for example, all judgment fell on the Lord Jesus Christ. People say, God is punishing me to show me something. No, all judgment fell on the Lord Jesus Christ. God is not putting an illness on you. But now let's see judgment under the grace of God. What I refer with that. First, we'll see the word judgment. Just to understand. In a simple term, what is judgment with certain words? Judgment, one of the words that judgment means, is verdict, is a verdict. A sentence or a decree. The word judgment here, or verdict, comes from Latin vere, which means truthfully, and dictus, which means saying. So we could say, a saying with truth or a sentence, a resolution or a decision. Now, I know my brother David here and Alex, they feel like fish in the sea. They understand all these terms as lawyers. If I say something, if any of the two can hear, can, if you can add to it still or correct me, if I say something that isn't right, I'd appreciate if you correct me. Or if you could still add on to it, give better understanding. For example, in Colossians 3, verse 23. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Colossians 3, 25. I want to teach you this, as always, with a good balance. Now go to verse 22. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasures, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. God always sees your heart, regardless of how nice whatever it is that we're going to do. Your heart and your motive has, instead of your motive, is, did God tell you to do that? Is that where your heart is? Is it to show the rest that you're a tremendous preacher, that you're anointing? Now, as pastors, some pastors get in things in competitions with who has the bigger church, who's best, who teaches best, and that's all trash. Those people are sowing wrongfully. Remember, these things have helped me to stay centered. I can help you apply it to your own life, whatever it is that you do. Number one, you won't live here forever. You understand? You won't live here forever. Number two, the only one that you should try to please is God. So you won't live forever. Amen. So then what are you sowing? Are you sowing tiredness, physical tiredness? There are people who do things that God didn't tell them to, so they're wearing themselves out faster. Now, of course, there are others who don't work. That's another point. But here I'm speaking of there are people who do more than what is necessary. So what did God tell them? First of all, God wants all of us to have a relationship with Him and to enjoy everything that He has given us. So there are moments of enjoying life. I like to enjoy life. I like to be in peace. I like to work. There are people who have told me that I'm very hyperactive. I don't know. And although I am very hyperactive, I will only do what God tells me. I won't do more. Which is why still you still see me at 50 years of age. So, you know, very green, very stuck, still stuck onto that tree. There was two movies that I watched from Mr. Pedro Infante. The first one was The Black Sheep, and then they gave the second part to that movie. And of those, you know, old men falling in love, it says, you will not desire the wife of your son, of the characters here that they were making. So these two were brothers playing characters, and they said, hey, what do you say about this very mature man thing. What do you mean? How young? You know, very still green, still stuck onto the tree. Now, some of you know what I'm referring to, others don't. Let's just leave it at that. But you know why? Because I'm not just wearing out my body doing things that I shouldn't. And I like to work physically, and I do things physically. But I'm not going to do more than what God told me. I'm not interested in pleasing anyone. I love the people, therefore, I guard myself to be able to continue ministering the word to those who want to listen. Who don't? Those who don't, well, you can't obligate them. Hallelujah. Here, no one pays rent. No one lives here rent free. The only one that's here is the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I've learned to pray, which is why it's so important that you learn to pray in the Spirit as well. Now, I don't know it all, but I've practiced it. And what I've prayed has worked out for me very well. 100% everything that I've prayed the last years has been accomplished. 100%. Perhaps there's a few projects that still haven't, but I'm headed there. But the rest means that it works. And one of the things is that I'm not constantly thinking of who's following, who's criticizing, if this brother comes or not. I'm never thinking of that. What I do is pray in the Spirit, because the Bible says we do not know to pray for what is convenient. So I start praying in other tongues for other people. And then when I'm praying, some of you, when I'm praying, I mention you even by name and by family. Amen. And some who I don't mention them because perhaps I don't know your name, but I see you in my spirit. So I start praying in other tongues, and I let the Spirit of God tell me or reveal to me what point it is that that person needs. Perhaps you're going through an issue. Perhaps you're going through depression. I don't know at all. The Spirit of God gives you words, which is why sometimes it can be manifest when we're praying a word of understanding, something in this moment. But that's why it's called a word. The word is the fragment. I can't know it all, because the Holy Spirit is not in the business of spreading gossip. He only reveals things in a certain form, where as a pastor, I can pray for you and intercede for you. Amen. And sometimes if I don't know, I just see an image of you and I just start praying in the Spirit, and I can spend a lot of time in prayer. That's a good thing of praying, of listening from God, because when you listen from God, then you can make your own time. There are certain days that I work in my business, other days where I can spend 8 hours praying. Not every day, but I sometimes pray 8, 10 hours, 12 hours. Sometimes 12 hours where I'm studying and praying and praying. Amen. I have a very privileged life, honestly. Hallelujah. The left says it's white privilege, but that's another subject. Now, we were seeing what judgment is. Verdict, a sentence, or a decree. The word, now let's see the word here, nomic, or a dictamen, judgment, verdict, used to refer the opinion or judgment that a person issues on a specific topic. It is derived from the Latin word dicere, to say or speak. This same word, which can also be translated judgment or verdict, from Latin itself, used to refer to the opinion or judgment that a person issues on a specific topic. It is derived from the Latin verb dicere, I believe that's a correct pronunciation, to say or speak. This is the judgment of God. So then we'll see certain judgments. Again, I'm going to repeat it one more time. Let's see an example of a judgment here. Meaning it's not that God is judging you, but that judgment is already decreed. And that judgment will act in your favor or against you. Meaning it's good then. For example, do not fear the word judgment, because judgment could be something good for you or for me. Let's see an example here. Galatians 6, verse 7. Here's a judgment of God. This is all judgment from God. So I ask you, as a big favor, or out of the mercies of the Lord Jesus, that if you have doubt in something, let me know. Because perhaps there's one or two or three of you that could confuse and say, well, Brother Hughes, God loves me although I'm in sin, or God brings me judgment. Because you have to understand that when God sees you, he sees you in the spirit, and in the spirit he sees the Lord Jesus. He loves you. But sin comes and causes agony in your pain. That's where depression comes. That's why Christians easily fall in depression. For example, this is to help you. Please understand that I'm trying to help you here. This is not to criticize. If something happens in your life and quickly you're of the people who get sad, you don't sleep at night, you're discouraged, you're constantly crying, well, those are all symptoms of depression in a certain state, or of oppression, depression, whatever you want to call it. But they're symptoms. And again, this is to help you. I have a mission in life. I've discovered that this is my mission. My mission is to help the people the best that I can. And without expecting to receive anything in return, my job is from God to you. God is the one that protects and blesses you. But if you're of the people who quickly gets discouraged, you don't sleep, you're constantly crying because of something that happens, again, you know what happens then? Is that you're not putting the word sufficiently in your heart. And the word and the Lord are not enough for you. So what happens is you've sown things in the past that are now affecting you in your mind, and that's of the devil. Remember, this is about rescuing your way of thinking. What do I refer with that? Majority, the average person says this. For example, you have two people, and a person sees you crying, you're sad, and says, a brother in Christ, hey, what happened? No, it's because of this and the other, and you share it with them. That person says, yeah, I understand, it's normal. Well, let's clarify. If it were just human, as healing, let's say that you only work in your soul and in your flesh, yes, it's normal. But if you're a believer in Christ Jesus, born again with all the good that's inside of you by Christ Jesus, then no, it's not normal. And you have to reject in living that way. You see, the Bible says, man, yesterday they invited me to preach on the internet. It's the first experience I've ever had doing that. Pastor friend of mine in Los Angeles. There's lots of people there, and I believe on Facebook. And he heard of the series, which I haven't finished, called True Prosperity. He said, hey, what you taught is so balanced. And I haven't even finished it. And this was about a month ago, a little over a month ago. And we put this date. The only thing is it was live, and it had to be here at 9 in the evening. That normally at that time, I'm about to go to sleep for church. You know that today we have a generation that doesn't sleep? You know that? Thank you. The majority of people don't sleep nowadays. They go to sleep very late on their phone. And what happens? I know some. You're getting in my personal life. Again, this is to help you. What happens is the melatonin that you can have in your natural mind that your brain produces, that hormone that provokes sleep, deactivates and does not work with light, especially with the lights from here. And people are in things that just will not benefit you the majority of times. So you're aging quicker and you're affecting your sight. Brother Hughes, it's because I can't go to sleep if I don't have my phone. Start praying in other tongues. Start praising God. Look at how quickly your flesh doesn't want that and it rather goes to sleep. Glory to God. I rebuke the anointing of Dracula in the name of Jesus. Now let's continue. So what happens then, if you're of those people who just quickly gets depressed, you've sown that spirit. But if you say, no, I speak joy in the name of Jesus, I speak peace that's inside of you. I mentioned this from last night. Because I spoke more than an hour. And I was like a machine gun, just speaking, throwing verses. You know why? Because many Christians, God bless them again. Oh, it's best if I don't say it. It's best if I leave it in hermeneutic service. I was going to speak on prayer. Now, let's continue with this with judgment. No. Why did I say Galatians 6? Verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. This is a decree from the Lord. If you sow for your flesh, you will reap. Not because God is punishing you, not because God sent it to you to teach you something. Simply, it's judgment from God. It's part of the laws that God already shared. Who understands? In the Old Testament, people read the Old Testament. You have to read the context. There were sometimes God will let things happen, but there are sometimes where God would bring judgment. God would literally bring the punishment. And he would make big just wiping out of people and of culture. Like plagues. Protecting Israel. Is there judgment under grace? All that disgrace that happened over there in the Middle East, it's God fighting for his people of Israel, literally. Because there's a covenant that he has with Israel. We understand it or not, you want to believe it or not, this and the other, that's what happened. But you have to see it. I'm going to tell you something very, very heavy here, very strong, but it's the truth. Only the spiritual people will understand, but they say, but so many children dying. Did you know that in perspective, it's best for those kids to die small because they go to heaven than to grow in that religion of the devil and go to hell? But the majority of people won't see it that way because the majority of people, speaking of Christians, unfortunately, are carnal. They have not renewed their mind and think like heathens, which is why the Bible says, brothers and sisters, that we have to rescue, save our way of thinking. Following along, your understanding. If I say this of the thoughts and I say it in any other place, I can assure you the grand majority, if there's 100 people, 80, 90 will be offended. What calls my attention is if I say this in a church, if I say something like this and there's 500 people, 450, many of them will get offended. How is it possible that Christians do not think the way that God thinks? Because they have not renewed their minds. They have not taken the time to renew their way of thinking, which is why they're in churches that will only encourage them. Here's another example of this in Jeremiah. Just so you can see for a moment and understand all of this. Jeremiah. When you read these verses, don't get scared, but look at them in the light of the New Testament. And you'll see what this is talking about. Its very context tells you. Jeremiah 31:27. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will sow the houses of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down. God would do this because in the Old Testament, Jesus had not come. And all sin had to be paid. And what is the pay for sin? Death.
The word of God says in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing a religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life. to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
We want to know about you and what God has done in your life. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and click on the testimony section and share with us the wonders of the Lord.
Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at mpfccc.org and click on the question section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes. Join us at Word of Faith Ministries in fulfilling the Lord's commission to share the Word of God worldwide. Your generous donations make a tangible impact and are greatly appreciated. To contribute, please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and go to the Giving section. To make a donation, fill out the donation form, enter your desired contribution amount, select the specific fund you wish to give to, add your preferred payment method, and click the Give button to finalize your donation. Upon completion, you will receive a confirmation of your donation. Your contribution plays an important role in every outreach program, every salvation, and every life transformed through our ministry.
But glory to God that in the New Testament, many Christians just stay with that verse that's in Romans 6. But what does it say? But the gift of God. Now let's see it there before. So you can see this with better light. Romans 6. So Brother Hughes, then do I live in sin or not? Well, that's on you. If you want to receive the consequences and be sick and harden your heart towards God, walk as if you were a heathen, although you're a child of God, well, that's on you. Because there's free will. And God will teach you. God will help you to take the best decision. But at the end of the day, you are the one who will decide. And God will respect your right to choose, although you choose wrong. 6. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. And many quote it. For the wages of sin is death. Hallelujah. Everyone gets scared there. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't just stay with for the wages of sin is death. Receive the last part for you as well. Now the first one. The first one, don't live in it because it's not for you. The last one is. Now, what does it have to do with? Jeremiah 31. Continuing, glory to God. Jeremiah 29. In those days, they shall say no more. The fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. You remember, if you remember the law, there was generational cursing. But that was all broken now in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, you're going to pay all your sins with your children. Have you heard of that? Don't accept that trash and that law. Hallelujah. Meaning, yeah, it's true to teach it balance. It's true that our actions, for example, can influence our children and the devil will grab it from there, and which is why you have to be careful what you say. I just said a moment ago, teach them to not be in gossip and not to be trying to learn the life of others. Teach them to have a relationship with God. Teach them that if they say something, where don't be in something that doesn't involve you. Well, yeah, they say this and that and the other. Yeah, they say, but don't be in that. It's for their own good. Teach them. In Exodus, glory to God, without losing your spot in Jeremiah. Exodus Thank you, Alex. You're the only one that gets as emotional as I am. I say, this is so good. And Alex, amen, everyone else. Just with that. You encourage me, Alex. Where's Goon? Where? Oh, they seated him over there. Exodus 20. I'm joking. Speaking of the law here. 20 verse 5. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. This has to do with idols. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Now help me with the New Living Translation in that verse. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, etc. For I am Lord your God, jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. But that was broken with the New Testament, glory to God. Don't be accepting those preachings of generational cursing, lies from the devil. Unless you accept them, then the devil will use the avenue of deceit and lies to put that illness on you that you or your great-great-grandfather. You understand? Well, your grandfather did this, or your great uncle did this, which is why you inherited it. You're like, yeah, that's right, amen. Yeah, glory to God. Don't receive that trash. Hallelujah. What fault do you have in that? You're not gonna pay anything. Well, I'll explain it later, because then YouTube blocks my videos. That of paying reparation. What fault do you have of what your ancestors did, or what our ancestors did? Errors that they did. Actually, it's even wrong to be judging. Just don't do what they did and that's it. Leave them in peace. They're no longer here. You see how the word can change your way of thinking? Amen. The word, brothers and sisters, removes the dumbness from our minds. Thank you. Amen. Don't be participating in that nonsense. It's a Greek word. Yeah, stop walking in those things. Think differently about what you can be different. Because in that place where you are in your job, perhaps everyone in your job believes contrary to you. You're the only one that believes like God. But you will be more effectual because you have light and their darkness. And light always conquers darkness. But if you think the same that they do, then it's just all darkness. And then here you are, a tired out little bulb. No, you're light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, Jeremiah 31. The fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. In other words, the fathers did something and the children pay the consequences in those days. So what are those days? These days, glory to God, the grace of God. But everyone, here it comes, everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. Aren't you thankful with the Lord that he had it recorded here? When I will make a new covenant, glory to God, with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Why the house of Judah? Because the Lord comes from the tribe of Judah and you and I are already in Christ. So, my point is, yes. Judgment will come to you or me if we're disobeying and using the grace of God as an excuse. And there are things that God hates. He does not hate us because he sees us in Christ. But sin comes regardless. The devil takes advantage of that, which is why it's dumb to use the grace of God to sin. Backward, true grace teaches you not to sin. You don't want to sin. You don't want to do it. Now don't lose your spot here in Jeremiah. Glory to God. Now, where did I tell you to go to? Did I not tell you? Now, this joke, Rene shared it with me. He asked me, who is the smallest saint in the Bible? And I said, I don't know. He said, Tito. And well, if it's a joke in Spanish. If you want more jokes like that, go with Rene. Now, Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, true grace teaches you. Which one? Then what is true grace? The one that preaches Brother Hughes. I know it may sound very arrogant, but it's the truth. Teaching us that denying ungodly and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. For who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Good works produced by faith. Amen. Notice how in verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness. Verse 12 in the New Living Translation, please. I hope I can share this thought with you. We are instructed to turn from godliness, living, and sinful pleasures. Verse 11 and 12 in that translation. For the grace of God has been revealed. The Lord Jesus here. Grace isn't a subject, it's a person. It's the Lord Jesus. Which is why the type of faith that you have is the faith of God in you. As Ephesians 2:8 says. Now, by the grace of God, he revealed to you bringing salvation to all people. Speaking of the grace of God, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, amen, righteousness, and devotion to God. Someone once told me, I won't tell you where or who, I'll just tell you it wasn't in this city. Honestly, I don't like to speak of the people this way. I don't like to judge them, but the example, I'll extract the example. I was giving some advice to this brother in Christ, pastor, and says, no, we're under the grace, don't be so exaggerated. And look at my answer. Actually, it's a subject of one of the teachings I'll give. That's why I said. For that same reason, you see the difference of one point of view, a carnal, and a biblical point of view. I said, that's because we're under grace. We make an effort in that same grace of love to God, of the love to He who loved us, who loves us regardless of our actions, doesn't love us because of us, but because of sometimes we complain or say things that we shouldn't say, or we disobey, or we don't do what he tells us. Regardless of everything, he loves us. I said, that's why we make an effort in the same grace of God in doing things correctly. Make an effort. Oh no, I wasn't going to say that anymore. It has to do with that. It has to do with the grace of God. It has to do with understanding. I don't do things just to please God. You see, Lord, I arrived early. You see how nice I look? I combed my hair. I shaved. No, none of that. But because we're under the grace of God, remember, we never reach perfection or the greatness of God. But we make an effort in honoring Him. You understand? Because I'm under the grace of God, I'm not taking drugs. I'm not injecting things in my body that I shouldn't. That's why I'm faithful to my wife. Because God is great and good. Oh, this is so good. Now, where am I? 31. 31:31. Jeremiah 31:31. Now 32. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand that led them out of the land of Egypt. Now, here we believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. But we do not guard the precepts of law. We're not sacrificing sheep here. The carpet's going to get stained. Amen. We're not doing things just to please God. But you can learn. Lay it. Read it. Read the law. And see it in the light of the revelation. And see the heart of God there. This is so good. Forgive me that I take you from one place to another. But I need to give you a Bible. Deuteronomy 7. Because those podcasts that you see, they just get you emotional. It's very common nowadays. Deuteronomy 7. Now, when you read it here, look at yourself in that image. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. This was to Israel, but there's an application for us here. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor chose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath. In other words, saying, Israel, don't make yourself the greatest thing or that I chose you because you were special. I loved you out of grace and I chose you out of grace. And to this day, I see, my God, the greatness that he still takes care of his people out of this covenant. Glory to God. He'll do it with you as well, because they were under the blood of animals. You and I are under the blood of the true God. Amen. That's the big difference. Are you seeing it? But I can see the heart of my God that is a God of covenant. Don't think that you're the greatest thing because you're very handsome, or because of my blue eyes, God loves me, or because of this or the other. Now, don't go to extremes. Well, God loves me like this. I already have 4 days without showering. No, don't go to another extreme either. Glory to God. This is so good. Jeremiah 31, one more time. I can't get out of there. You know what? You remove all that nonsense of if tithing is of the law or not. All nonsense. I already read 31. 33. But this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds. Their law is the word. Where? In your mind. Do you understand why we renew our minds? Because the law won't just come in one go. Hallelujah. I will put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts. It's already written here. You already have all faith in your spirit. You already have all peace. You have all love. It's written here, but not in your mind, glory to God. Which is why when we renew and say, when someone says this or that or the other, quickly your mind wants to, oh, this guy and this son of a... And oh, glory to God, son of the Lord, I bless him in the name of Jesus. You understand? Thank you, Lord. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 34. Normal, no more. Shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me. Now, this isn't of that we won't teach the word. This says that none of us can say, no one can tell you how to have a relationship with God. We can give you the points, the precepts with the Bible, but you will have that relationship. You will know it. It's yours. It's between God and you. And you know what? You will see by your walking, by your works of faith. But your lifestyle is a result of it. Have you seen people who say, no, I don't need to go to a church. I have a relationship with God. Those people then don't have a relationship with God. It's backwards. If you have a relationship with God, then you seek to go to a church. And you seek the direction of the Lord to which church to go, not just to whichever one you want to. Many times God will put you in a church where you don't like anything of it. But it's the word that will mature you and change you. You're saying, oh, I go to that church because I feel very comfortable there. I'll tell you something. When I met my pastor in heaven, I wasn't sometimes very comfortable there, just having to travel 2 hours of where I lived. And the man spoke completely different and spoke very different things of what I was used to. But later I saw that I could receive them and put them to work, and it was changing my life. And I heard them the first time in a cassette saying, oh, this man isn't in love. See, the same religious spirit hasn't changed. The same dog, different collar. This man is not in love. And I said that. Just as some say of me. Well, you know, I went to sleep and the spirit of God. I heard the voice of God here very strongly. Not going to say that it was an audible voice, but almost. Never had the Lord spoken to me that way. Very few times have I heard it as that. To turn on the light, continue listening to that cassette, grab your Bible, journal, write down. Whoa. I didn't sleep that night, but it changed me. I said, wow, this man, very harshly. Man, this is very tough. But it's here in the Bible. Why the law of God is so important. Now, where was I? Verse 34. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. So why are you constantly remembering? I don't know how many times I have to tell you. Verse 35. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Which is why it's so important to understand the law of faith, understand these laws in the New Testament, because they were prophesied. Go to Hebrews 8. So can you be a judged Christian? Yes. Can judgment come? Not from God if you're his son and have covenant with him. Or yes, from the devil. You understand? You see it? So you don't want that. Let the heathen receive their judgment. But not you. You and I don't. If we're going to receive judgment, a good judgment from the laws of God. Hebrews 8, glory to God. Verse 8. Because finding fault in them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. Now this is the same thing that we read in Jeremiah. When I will make a new covenant with the houses of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, says the Lord, because they did not continue my covenant and I disregarded them, says the Lord. No one could accomplish the law, which is why they could not follow. For this, you remember in Jeremiah, you read in 31-34, just a moment ago, comes days. Notice how it says here, for this is. We are already in those days. The covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah, glory to God. Amen. Verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. Hallelujah. Now Jeremiah 32. Verse 40. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their heart so that they will not depart from me. Everlasting covenant with you. Now, how many of you know that we're going to continue with this? I'll tell you from right now. One of the issues with sin is this, that there's a possibility that you renounce that covenant. Not God. He just told you, I have eternal covenant with you. But sin is filled up so much in your mind, and you start falling in that deceit from the devil and some Christians that later renounce that covenant. In other words, God did not obligate you to be saved, right? No. God does not obligate you to stay saved. God instructs you and says that you guard your salvation, exercise your salvation with fear and trembling, but will not obligate you. But it's one of the dangers of the deceit of sin and disobedience. You renounce that. Well, some years ago, I was walking through here and I was speaking how I had a covenant relationship with my pastor in heaven, with my mentors in faith. I was sharing this here in church. And then in front of here was a person. And that person grabbed my hand and said, just like us, you and I have a relationship. Later on, he left. I never renounced that. It was him. You understand? Not me. Giving that example. Because you can have something here with God, but you can renounce God. It's not so easy, really. When you have a strong relationship with God, there's a very minimal possibility that you renounce, because here we're speaking that you have to know God. You have to stop seeing God as a religious being, something religious. And you have to start seeing Him as God the Father that loves you, regardless of all your errors and my errors. He loves you with eternal life. That love motivates you to follow. That love that says, I don't have to be seeing pornography. I don't have to be injecting drugs. I don't have to sell drugs. I don't have to be doing this. This is of the devil. Amen. That grace inside of you is what tells you, Lord, thank you for this home. It's the one that teaches you to enjoy what you have. There are people who don't enjoy what they have. Some people used to live in a room, and now they live in a house. And their house isn't enough for them, and which is why they're always, you know, how they're comfortable just spending and spending. I'm not against using what we have and enjoying what we have, but when you're just constantly spending in stuff that you don't have and then falling in debt. Why do I say this? To be in your personal life? No, this is so you can relate it. It's because of this, because you don't have peace and don't enjoy what you have there at home. You don't know how to enjoy. Just solemnness, not solemnness your wife, your neighbor, but being alone, where you can enjoy the Lord and sitting down in your living room with a cup of coffee. And enjoying the peace where it's just Him speaking to me and I speak to Him. Many people don't know that. There are people who constantly have to be listening to something to be in peace, because I don't know, the devil condemns them or their conscience rebukes them. But they always have to be with some noise, listening to something. I'm not saying that it's wrong that you listen to Christian music or that you listen to preachings or something like that. No. But there are people who all the time, haven't you gone to a house or to a shop where they always have to have music? And a horrendous music where they glorify everything but God. Where they glorify adultery, death, destruction, killings, assassinations, depression and all that. without you, I can't live, and things like that. There are people like that, my God. No wonder they're in depression. That I read your letters, who knows how many times in the day, and just nonsense. How can people listen to that? And they can't even stop and say, what type of nonsense? Have you heard of that song? Today I spoke with my rooster. What? And some people thinking, oh, when you were high or something? No, just talking with a rooster. I have horses and I have animals and I sometimes pamper them. But I'm not always just thinking that I'm having a conversation with them. Yeah, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. And Christians stuck in that. Now I'll close up with this. John 12. Verse 1. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, who he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. He didn't care for them, and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you will always have, but me you do not have always. So that the fragrance was worth about 300 denarii. Back then, the best salary is always just 1 denarii, meaning that if you lived in those times and they paid you 1 denarii a day, wow, that was a very well-paid salary. You didn't want to let go of that job. So this fragrance, 300 denarii, almost a yearly salary. And Judas said, what a waste. That's what they tell us when we speak of money, saying, no, that's too much money. Why don't they give it to the poor? And then I've heard some say, the Bible says, Yeah, but who? It was Judas, not Jesus. They're quoting Judas. Are you seeing it? It's true, we help the people, but the best help and the first help is always the gospel. It's the word of God. Did you know that there are people who are writing to us in English, but they're watching us from Muslim countries? The Muslims are receiving Christ. Now, I don't like, my son doesn't like when I say this, but I've told my son, you need to be a bit more honest, especially if I mention him. But he was telling me, Dad, I don't want to help you interpret anymore. Now we're getting tired of it. I'm being translating in English all the time. I said, look, think about this. I know you don't want to, that's fine. But I mean, he's still going to do it. I'm the one that tells, gee, thanks, Dad. But you know, he's changed his heart because I told him, look, son, think of this. Last year, around this time, around January, February, Erica was telling me that we are already developing the English app. But we're very slow on social media. I said, well, what's this? These are the subscribers. I don't remember, I think. If let's see if Erica remembers. 8? Like 8 or so? It was 4. Yes, thank you. I said 8. It was 4. And ever since my son came in, to this day, I don't have the exact number, but I believe we have more than 40,000. It went from 4 to 40,000. And I said, you know what? Not because of your greatness, praise the Lord for it, that God is using you. Because of the Lord, of the grace of God. 46,000. Well, someone there in Douglas, perhaps you know him. I won't mention his name. Although it's funny. It's not no harm in what I'm going to say. He said, "Hey, Hughes, I was listening to you in English," and he said this two questions. Where did you get that AI, and how much did it cost you? And he said, "I inherited it about 20 years ago in the womb of my wife, and it's cost me a lot of money just with the amount of food that my son eats." Yeah, so people are doing that. Glory to God. They're receiving the Lord Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Or as I told him, as I said, pray. I mean, you're still going to help me. And yeah. But he's changed his heart. I said, look at the honor. Look at the privilege. Because those people are now listening to us from countries in Asia, Europe, some Muslims speak English over there as well. So people are receiving the Lord. And others are being instructed. Lord is good. See, without having too much effort and think. Now, what's the word I was going to share? Well, I don't even know what I was going to say. Perhaps it wasn't going to be so good, which is why it left me. The best thing that people will have is the spiritual word, the blessing of God. Amen. It's the word of God. That's the reason we give. And when we give, he said, I will put those laws. We have the laws of sowing and reaping. Believe the Lord for something. Someone is not believing the Lord. I believe the book that Brother Copeland had in of tithing here. Remember some of you? Yeah. Already ready. You can read it. Of people of our area of faith. Don't see other things. Wait, why? Unless someone says, oh no, God called me to something else. Let God tell you where, but if you say, no, God called me to this, I'm going to stay here with it. I don't know about you, but I love my brothers, but I'm very zealous of this word. I'm very zealous of it. Glory to God. That's all I had to share. Stand on your feet.
I was going to say something else, but I better not. I've learned to sometimes just keep my mouth quiet. The Lord. Thank you. God. The Lord's mercy is good. I didn't finish, but I believe this is good. Later we'll see more laws. A good judgment from the Lord for you and I. Walk in faith. Another way of understanding the word. I didn't say it was a synonym necessarily, but it's the accomplishment of natural. Break a law, and depending on that code, from that country, there will be different years or amounts that you need to pay and judgment. came according to what is written in the law. Well, but if the Bible says if you follow the Lord, that you're going to follow your days in joy and peace, do it. About problems, how to lessen problems. Say that we weren't going to have them, but they're going to lessen considerably. If you have the confidence and security, speaking of this church, the Lord takes care of this church. Takes care of this church through the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter how many come against, how many criticizes, and I'm talking about Christians. They're going to be fighting against the Lord. Not me. Not myself, the church. They're always going to criticize us. But that's another thing that I'm going to talk to you about, persecution. The series of weekdays, we're going to shorten it and going to enter in subjects of prayer, and I'll probably finish it in a couple weeks. And this topic, we're going to talk about it all week long. And you're going to like it. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. Give you thanks. Thank you that we are listening and learning, and what we knew, we're reinforcing it. And there are new facets of revelation. And I know that you are good with us. You are with us, and we will always honor you and love you because you honor those who honor you. And I give you thanks that we would not be put to shame. Those of us who are in agreement, maybe for certain members in their life, it will come. Those who are believing for their finances, it will come. It will come because the Lord is good. And if we know how to pray and intercede correctly for them, there's a good possibility to see good results. That's why it's so important to depend from the Holy Spirit. That words that we pray and come from our mouths, they be words full of anointment and of faith. For the light of the word is greater and stronger than the darkness of Satan. The light of the kingdom of God, of the love of God and the revelation of God, and his presence moves in every corner of this earth, where everyone who is being fooled, those who are lost, come to the Lord. And those who have come to the Lord but are being fooled, they come and rededicate themselves to the Lord. Because the anointing of the Holy Spirit breaks all yoke. And no arm formed against you will come and prosper, because I always take you into triumph. There will fall 1,000 and 10,000 to the other side, and no one will come for you, because you will not be ashamed. Trusting in the Lord is trust. Walking in the Lord is trusting. Maybe you won't see results at the moment, but when you trust and you say, I don't understand this, I don't understand this situation, what am I going to do? But I know that you have the answer, and I have your spirit. You and I are one, and we connect in faith and intercession. I connect with you, Lord, and I have the answer. And if I don't understand it from the moment, thank you that you are patient and merciful, and I'm going to seek you with all my heart. Glory to God. And you pray that way. And I didn't tell you how to pray, but I think that's what the Holy Spirit was saying through tongues. Thank you, Lord. I open my Bible, then I start praying for all of you. I open my Bible and I read the letters of Paul, Spirit of revelation and wisdom is them. Chapter 1, chapter 2, then chapter 3. And I begin to pray. And I speak blessing, words of blessing over you. And I pray in other tongues. And the Spirit of God gives me images of you sometimes. And if I know what is going on, because with some of you guys we're in agreement, I reinforce what we're praying. And in if other cases I don't know, I continue praying in tongues until I believe the Holy Spirit speaks something. And then what he speaks, I pray it in English or Spanish, and I cast out the devil and take authority in the part that belongs to me. Which means that there's a part that you have to pray. And there's the part that belongs to you and one for me as a pastor. I'm speaking of you understand it, you're mature. The anointing and the authority that a pastor has over its flock. And I don't mean authority of do this and do that. I'm not talking about that. But the authority that the Lord delegated to help, because you are a flock of the Lord, not mine. And it has to do a lot. The pastor that you are, if you're a pastor who is corrupt and only are involved in people and causing problems and to have a name, then that's that anointing you're going to have. And if you're going to be under a man and a woman that are humble to the Lord, you see their lifestyle, and then that anointing and that authority that Jesus has given you, with that authority, that pastor lifts his flock before him and casts out the devil. And there are things that you have to cast out. But that spiritual authority, that connection. Thank you, Lord. But I take it very seriously. I don't take it lightly. I'm the pastor. No? You think there are pastors? They have thousands. And I don't impress the Lord with that. But I take it very seriously to pray and seek from the Lord. And it could be, it could be, I didn't say it is, I said it could be the reason that a lot of you are alive and that the word has lifted you in your faith, because we're praying. Not the only thing, but you have to do your part also. Amen?
Were you ministered and were you fed with the word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to do so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The Word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the Word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the Word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the Word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. True. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again. And we've experienced it time and time again. Time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true. And thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you. And we agree. And you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing. And not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise, seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt. And He wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.
Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.